Welcome to From the Cold Corner, a podcast devoted to those impacting the cold food and beverage supply chain. I'm Michael Costa, editor-in-chief of Refrigerated and Frozen Foods magazine, and today our guest is Jim Osborne, senior vice president of customer strategy and innovation at US Foods. Welcome to the Cold Corner, Jim.
Thanks for having me, Michael. I appreciate it.
So as our listeners know, the food service distribution channel has been hit especially hard by COVID-19 and the subsequent shutdowns of restaurants, hotels, schools, catering, and other volume food service venues. How has U.S. Foods been able to navigate through COVID-19, and what areas of your business were most affected?
It's been quite a journey over the last few months, as everybody's been experiencing. As most of the listeners probably know, U.S. Foods is one of our great American food companies and a leading food service distributor, and lots will know us from our trucks on the road delivering food and supplies to customers across the country. We've got about 300,000 restaurants and food service operators that are out there across 70 locations and 76 cash and carry stores across the U.S. So a strong footprint in a lot of different segments that have pretty much all been impacted. What we've seen is the restaurants and the hospitality customers were just crushed with the mandated closures across the country. And what it's really caused us to do is help figure out how we can help our operators be successful. Lots of our restaurant customers got into the business because they had a passion for food and serving the community. In reality, now they need to focus on the fact that they're running a small business that's tough to be profitable, even at the best of times. You know, the average restaurateur makes about 4 cents of every dollar. And now with decreased traffic, with increased costs, with all the uncertainty that's going on, it's become even more challenging for them. Restaurants have really had to turn on the creativity jets and the innovation jets and think about how they can pivot their business. And for most, that meant even if they didn't have takeout or delivery before, they needed to get into that game quickly. To do that, you need to think about your menu differently. You need to think about how you're taking orders. You need to think about how you're delivering orders, how you're making money while doing all that. And necessity is always the mother of invention. And we've seen creativity all across the country in terms of restaurants turning into mini pantries or grocery stores, pivoting to meal kits, thinking about different ways that they can serve customers and engage social media. Our promise to customers for many years has been, we help you make it. And that's been the backbone of our go-to-market strategy. And really, it's been around consulting customers to make them be successful. We have a very simple business model. If we can help a customer sell more food, that means they'll buy more food, and we can create some loyalty while doing that and drive our business. So we have a couple of roles at US Foods, one called a Food Fanatic Chef, and another one called a Restaurant Operation Consultant, or ROC. And those folks are solely deployed to help customers be successful in their operations. They're all ex-restaurateurs, ex-operators that have learned all kinds of lessons through successes and failures, and they're putting those to good use in helping our customers navigate through this tricky time. They're helping them understand what technology to use, helping them understand the complexities of the CARES Act, what their new P&L looks like, what their cash flow looks like, how to leverage social media to its fullest extent. It's really been the big differentiator between us and some of the other companies that are out there, or some of the other options that are out there in terms of webinars or support, is that expert that is experienced and empathetic, that ability to connect directly with them and get their advice and guidance.
And tell me about the shift in your own supply chain from food service to other areas with higher demand the past few months, like retail and hospitals. Where did you redirect your inventory, and how long did that shift take?
It was staggering how quickly it happened. I would say that clearly the demand shifted into other segments, and we needed to figure out how to get that supply pivoted over into where the demand was. And we had a great opportunity in retail, because that's where we saw a dramatic increase in demand for all kinds of different products. And we quickly executed a bunch of retail partnerships all across the country, which allowed us to get a lot of product into the stores and really match up our supply with that demand, not only with products, but even with our associates. You know, we've contracted and have over 700 of our distribution associates, our drivers, our warehouse folks that are working in other places where there's demand right now. And it's been a huge benefit for us, for our associates as well.
This is a side question, but as far as your actual product that you would normally deliver to food service, did you have to change the pack size or pallet size or anything like that to make it more retail ready?
One of the benefits of having 76 cash and carry locations across the country is we've got a pretty good handle on how to service a retail-like customer. So we already have a list of products that have the proper labeling. We also saw that proteins, retail was able to bring it in and repack it for shelf. And in some cases, we saw grocery stores that had number 10 cans of vegetables on the shelf that might not be a normal occurrence 3 months ago, but over the last couple of weeks, consumer buying patterns have just changed so dramatically that having a number 10 can of something is not as crazy as it may have sounded at one time.
US Foods has done a lot of charity work and donated products since the pandemic started, and we've been posting a lot of those endeavors on our website. Can you tell me about some of your most successful initiatives and what impact it's had on those target organizations?
We've had a lot of longstanding relationships, small and large, across the country. Feeding America, we've donated more than $10 million in food and supplies. And again, it's from local food banks to some big, well-known operations that are happening, such as Jose Andres and the World Central Kitchen, or a few weeks ago, partnering with John Bon Jovi and the JBJ Soul Kitchen Food Bank in New York and New Jersey, and in Chicago with Chef Rick Bayless. So he partnered to help feed restaurant workers. So it's really been inspiring to see how the community's banded together, really been trying to take care of folks.
Okay. And tell me about US Foods' latest initiative, the Restaurant Reopening Blueprint. How did that come about, and how much work went into making it a truly practical program for restaurateurs?
So it came about by the fact that most of our restaurateurs are really, it can be overwhelming with the amount of change that's coming at them, the amount of guidelines and regulations that are coming at them. How do they navigate through all of the complexities? And so we saw the opportunity to try and take it from, in some cases, kind of book smarts to street smarts. How do we use our experience, our knowledge and team to really take complex concepts and make it easy and understandable and quite frankly, executable at the ground level. So we put together in the span of about a week or 10 days, a restaurant reopening blueprint, which is quite robust. It helps operators focus first on rebuilding trust, making sure that they're doing this because they want to, not because they need to. One of the big things that's going to really drive consumers back into restaurants is feeling like it's a safe place. So that's kind of the first cornerstone. Secondly, helping them simplify their menu and their operations. They're going to have to do things differently. And whether that is because of less traffic coming into the restaurant, whether it's because of social distancing, whether it's because of potential product changes or shortages, or whether it's because you need to have a menu that travels, a menu that is able to show up well when it gets to a home or something through takeout and delivery. And then lastly, really to help them be flexible and agile and know that this situation continues to change. And as the diners start to come back, as the regulations start to ease, there's going to be more changes and there's going to be more things that we need to learn from quickly and figure out how to pivot. That's been a real hallmark of the industry, is the ability to change rapidly. And one of the things that we've been very successful with is trying to take those best practices that have happened in pockets of the country and spread them and share them. Really, we've seen a community type approach in the industry where restaurants that maybe competed fiercely with one another are now bonding together and thinking about how they can manage outside dining space and things like that, that are just a different way to look at the restaurant landscape going forward. So, I think one of the big pieces of whether it's the restaurant reopening blueprint or our overall approach to helping our customers is we've had a series of webinars that are available to anybody in the industry, not just our customers. It can be anybody. We've got our previous ones on demand on our website. We've got our schedule for our ones in the future available. And the key part of these is we might have a 1 hour webinar on something like understanding the CARES Act or managing cash flow. And that 1 hour webinar might have 40 minutes worth of content. That 1 hour webinar sometimes goes for 2 hours because we use an online question system where you can upvote questions. And we stay on there. Our experts stay on there. Again, those rocks, those food fanatic chefs that have been in the industry forever, they stay on there and they answer almost every question. As long as people want to stay and ask questions, they'll stay and answer them, which really makes it specific to the individual and really creates that human connection where they can leverage the experience of people that have been through it before. And the second part of that would be we've got one-on-one consultations with those rocks and food fanatic chefs, again, which can be booked primarily by our customers, but be anybody in the industry. If they want to book a 20-minute or a half-hour consultation, they can do that through usfoods.com and leverage that experience.
And what part of reopening restaurants and food service venues will be most challenging, in your opinion?
The most challenging piece is going to be understanding profitability and really managing the financial aspect of it. As I said earlier, lots of customers got in the restaurant business because of a passion for food and for community. And the reality is they start to look at it through the lens of being a business and having a P&L. They're really going to have to manage the revenue side, right? As there's limitations on seating, as you're bringing in takeout business, right? So you've got to manage your revenue differently. You got to manage your costs differently, right? Your labor differently. What's the increase of PPE going to have? So it's really helping them think through, what does the cash flow situation look like? What do you need to do to be successful? What are some things that you can do differently, whether it's with technology, whether it's with product and tweaking your menu? Can you think about how you manage your labor more efficiently, right? So speed scratch instead of straight scratch from a prep perspective in a kitchen, you know, that would help with social distancing. It helps with labor. There's a bunch of different things like that that restaurants really need to think about that are really, really key to trying to maintain some level of profitability.
And shifting gears just a little bit, US Foods launched 22 new products for its spring scoop lineup this year, which were aimed at bars and grills before the pandemic. Some really tasty looking creations from your R&D staff. I had a chance to look through the catalog a few times longingly. Will those products resume shipping to restaurants as reopening continues? And what sort of feedback have you received on any of those products so far?
So that was our 25th edition of Scoop, and widely heralded as the best ever lineup of products. And we've continued to ship them with all of the changes. It hasn't necessarily had the focus or energy that we would have liked, but there's some incredible products in there. I'd be lying if I didn't say that the garlic breaded cheese curds were fantastic, but one of the things we were really excited, it was our first foray into the plant-based burger with our Molly's Kitchen product, which really got a tremendous amount of feedback and early success. And I think those products, the 22 in spring and the 400 or 500 that we've launched over the last 25 editions, really have typically been targeted with some type of labor-saving, cost-saving, time-saving approach. And I think those products are again, more relevant now than they've ever been. So I think our Scoop and our product innovation platform really going to be a cornerstone as we continue to navigate through now and into the future.
And was there a particular reason it was aimed at bars and grills this year?
We typically have a theme for each of our scoops. The bar and grill segment was something that there's a lot of customers in that segment, and a lot of them that are looking to differentiate themselves or think about how to step up their menu. Some of it could be places that were brew pubs initially, and they're looking to expand into food. So we thought it was a very attractive segment, but obviously, the vast majority of those products are good for any customer, not just a bar and grill.
And you've answered all my questions. Is there anything you'd like to add or something I missed?
Maybe I'll take a moment just to thank all of our essential workers that are out there helping keep our communities fed. And before I was in this role, I was the area president in Lake Erie for about a year, and I got the opportunity to be on the front lines with our warehouse folks and our drivers. And the work they do in the best of times is grueling and admirable. It's just an incredible job. And to do it through these times, it's just amazing. I'm so proud of that group and so thankful for what they're doing on a day-to-day basis.
Well, thanks again for joining us, Jim.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Michael.
And thanks to you, our listeners. If you have any comments or questions, you can contact me via email at costam@bnpmedia.com, and I'll be sure to respond. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the podcast or have a suggestion for a topic, please let me know. Until next time, this is Michael Costa from the Cold Corner.